Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome.
The more I grow my foundation and my technique, the more freedom I will have when I present.
Hey friends, Brittany Richmond here with The Speaker Lab. And today I sat down with my friend, Erin Pompa. Erin's been a youth speaker for just a few years and has already gone full time. And trust me, she has seen it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Erin and I both believe being a speaker is about listening to the calling despite all the opposition that we could face when we are out there. Being a speaker can be the most rewarding thing, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have its hard moments. And there are so many moments when we're not sure if we should keep going or not. And I have had my fair share. We all have, and I know Erin has too. So today, Erin's sharing a few of her lackluster experiences amidst the success that she has had and what she's done to keep the impact that she wants to create for her audience and the transformation in her focus when the going gets tough. So, okay, let's get into it with this conversation with Erin Pompa. What's up, y'all? Brittany Richmond here with The Speaker Lab, and I'm back for another outstanding, amazing, inspiring, motivating, all the things episode with a dear friend of mine, and I'm super excited to connect with her. She is a thriving speaker in the youth market, an inspiring woman. I've had the opportunity to see her speak multiple times, and we've grown a very real friendship, a very real business relationship as well. And I'm so excited to have her here. But I'm not going to introduce her too much because I want her to say all of the things about herself. But Erin Pompa, welcome to the Speaker Lab podcast. Oh my goodness, I can't believe this. Are you so excited to be here? I'm so excited to have you.
So many things right now. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Erin Pompa. Let me just go down the gratitude list real quick. So number one, being on the Speaker Lab podcast is rocking my mind right now because I remember when I was an aspiring speaker, listen, I will roll up my sleeves, get inside Google and figure it out. And Google led me to this podcast. And this podcast, literally, if you take the time and implement what they say, can help you grow your speaking business. So this podcast is something I always have in my ear. I love it. And it is just such an honor to be here. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe I've made it to the level where I could be here. And then Brittany, you know how I feel about you. Like, I feel like I was gifted with people in my life who care about me and nurture not only our friendships, but our business relationships. And I believe because I did the work and it's aligning myself with those kind of people. And I am so grateful you are in my life.
Oh my goodness. Girl, I feel the same. I feel totally the same. I love what you said about doing the work and applying what they say. You know, like, we'll get into all of that. But first of all, I know you listened to the episode, so I know you know the first song that I'm going to ask you, because I think it just sets the tone for the audience. Like, this says a lot about who you are as a speaker. What is your walkout song, Erin?
Okay, so when I listen to the podcast, I'm like, I've never done a walkout song, but I had my first event where I wanted a walkout song. So I come from a dance background, so it's not like my favorite song. If it was my favorite song, it would be something very dramatic and like chandelier, and I would be like, everybody would be crying, right? But so Kanye West, let's just leave it at that. That's the artist that I use because it's hype. The kids, the youth know him. Like, he's a little edgy, and my husband picks out the songs for me because he is very talented with music.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yes. So Kanye West, and everyone's probably thinking a song of his in their head right now, which is good. It does say a lot about a speaker, in my opinion, because there have been some speakers where I look at their walkout song and I'm like, I literally know everything I need to know about you right now. Like, this is just telling me all the things.
But like, I just got a blank. Like, I forgot what song we picked. But for me, it's like, I said, babe, you know my talk. I want this emotion to happen when I'm walking down the aisle. So coming from a dance background, I'm like, what emotion will be evoked if I play this song? But I can't remember the song, of course, right now. Big brain fart.
Of course. I love it. I love it. So before we get into the nitty gritty, and today, Erin, I know we kind of talked about this, but I really want this to be a very real talk podcast, mm-hmm. like the good, the bad, the ugly of what we've both experienced as speakers. And I think because I really want this to feel really real and relatable to the listeners and to let them know that they're not alone in things that are things that happen out on the trail when we're out there, you know, living mm-hmm. our purpose, because we're people, we're not perfect people, and, you know, we're not for everybody. And I think that that's a really important message to consistently reiterate as people really get into the thick of their speaking business. So, but before all that, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, what did you do before speaking? What do you do? You were in dance. We know that. So tell us all the things.
Well, I grew up in the hood and there was a high school there. And if I got into that high school, it meant that I didn't have to go to the other high schools with gang violence. So that was a performing arts high school. So that was kind of how I got my toe dipped into dance, fell in love with dance, got my master's in dance, got my undergrad in dance, toured as a dancer, and ran a high school dance program for 14 years. And I didn't want to do that. I was like, in my undergrad, when they were like pedagogy classes and teaching youth, I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to be a freaking star. So there became a point where my parents were like, we're tired of paying all your bills. You need to get a job. Like, you need a job with health insurance and 401, a pension. So the job at my high school opened up. I got the job. I fell in love with those kids and with teaching. That's a testament to say you do not know what you do not know. Because if it was up to me, I would have ran from that job like a track star. So I did that for 14 years. Year 10, I'm standing in the classroom because I was really passionate. It was like my life. I was like, oh no, I don't want to do this anymore. And it wasn't like I didn't love my kids. I didn't love education. It was like, who else am I? I have danced my entire life and I have taught dance at that time for 10 years. I want to expand myself. So it was a very uncomfortable journey. I'm not sitting here saying I didn't want to be a teacher now and right away I was a speaker. No, there was other businesses. There was failure. There was substitute teaching when I left my teaching career. There was so many things and so many hardships. But I just stayed the course and knew that I had a purpose and a drive to do more. And along that journey, I started to understand, because I'm very spiritual, that my job here right now is to impact our youth. That seed was planted in the classroom and I didn't know it yet. I didn't know the seed was being planted for curriculum design. I didn't know the seed was being planted to understand how to connect with our youth. Right. So when it was time for me to pivot and I was like to my husband, what do I want to do? I was like, I think I want to speak. And what do I want to speak about? Youth was one of the things. Now, getting very clear on youth was a battle for me because I was a person who thought I needed to do youth, women, everybody. Like, I had to experience discomfort and failure trying to be everything to understand that youth was where I needed to serve. And the reason I like to say where I feel like my higher power, God, whatever you want to say, wants me is because it helps me not do the things I want to do from ego. My ego will say, Erin, you need to be here serving adults. You need to be here serving women. You need to be here. No, no. I keep getting pointed back to youth. That is where my higher power wants me. Let me stop being selfish. Let me do the work using the gifts that I have been granted for this season of life.
Whoo! I don't know about everybody else, but I got chills. Like, let's go. But you touched on a point that is so critical, niching down and being comfortable with that. And, you know, really understanding that just because we could serve everybody doesn't mean that we should. I think a lot of people mm-hmm. that come to the speaker lab at least have some idea, or they have like 10 things they really want to speak about or who they want to speak to. So really helping people narrow it down. So what would be like your one piece of advice for people who are struggling to kind of like, they know, but they don't know that they need to narrow it down to a certain thing. Mm-hmm. So what would you tell them like to, in order to get clarity on that?
Stop being selfish. I wanted to serve everybody and everything because I feel like I am good just as you are, just as the speakers probably listening to this are amazing. Yeah, we can serve everybody, but that's being selfish because it is impossible to give deep, impactful, valuable change in a certain demographic if you are serving everyone in the world. And see, niching down doesn't work for me. Like, if somebody tells me to niche, I resist. But when I look at it in a lens, like, stop being selfish. Where are your strengths? Where can you really make an impact in this season? And that's the other thing. Like, I have seasons of life, right? Right now, I'm a youth speaker. I have no idea what is coming up the pipeline for me. I have goals, dreams, and aspirations, but I have to stay present. Right now, what I am doing is serving this industry as best as I could. That's my advice.
I love that. I love the reframing. I'm all about reframing. Like you said, like someone told you to niche down, like you'd be really resistant to that. But when you view it a different way through a different lens, you're like, oh, this makes total sense. So I challenge everybody listening to reframe it and think like Erin, if you're struggling with that. I think that'd be really, really powerful for people. So you're a youth speaker. I mean, this would be applicable to any industry speaker, right? Mm-hmm. The niching down and everything. But what is your process of getting booked and paid? Like, how are you getting out there and getting gigs?
Okay, well, if y'all didn't yet, you need to go in the archives and look. There's like 4 episodes with Rambo and Eric Ream where they're like pipeline 1, 2, 3, 4, proposal email. Like, they give you a curriculum on the podcast. Brittany, literally what I did was I found it and I'm like, oh, this is a lot to digest. Took it one day at a time, put in my earbuds, opened up Trello and was like, what can I, because they're like, right now I'm moving into Pipedrive, which is a CRM. I wasn't ready for that, right? I just needed something simple that I felt comfortable in. So I opened up Trello and I built out each and every stage of the pipeline as per their episodes. And then I started looking up people and started emailing, and it took time. It took a good 6 months to a year, maybe 6 months. I was getting free stuff, and all of a sudden, I was like paid stuff, and all of a sudden, I'm meeting people, and all of a sudden, it's taking off. So that is what I do. You know, I try to work my pipeline consistently. Now that I am a full-time speaker, which is so cool to say, like I work for myself, I have more time to dedicate to my pipeline, but when I was working and had a job, it was harder. Like I had to make myself disciplined and I didn't always do it consistently.
No, and that's good vulnerability too, to tell people, like I've told people too, like I don't think consistency means that there are days when you don't, right? I think consistency in our prospecting means, you know, okay, if we skip a couple days, we're not like, oh, well, we're done. It's clearly not something we're doing. Mm-hmm. No, we just do it the next day, you know? And I know those episodes you're referring to with Eric and Grant, extremely valuable information. That's one of the things about the Speaker Lab podcast, I feel, is like we give away all of this information for people to just apply, right? And to just, like you said, utilize it and you grew it and you speak full time now. And that's wild, right? Like, it's just wild to think about.
It's so wild. It's such a gift. And I'm so grateful. But here's the thing. I have the mindset is like, I'm going to get them by the follow-up. Like, there's so many speakers out here, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to get the gigs because I am the one following up. Because you don't know how many emails I get when people are saying, oh my gosh, I appreciate your follow-up. Oh my goodness. Like, yeah, it could have fell through the crack. People are busy. So, okay. Like, I'm going to be the one you hear from every 2 weeks.
I love that. I love that. Fortune isn't the follow-up, right? Like, we have to follow up. Mm-hmm. No, that's so valuable. And on a side note, like typically I hear back if I hear back, right? Because you don't hear back from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. If I hear back from people, it's typically after email, like 2 or 3. So it is during the follow-up process that I typically hear back from people also. So,
and no, for that fourth email, when you're like, I'm just going to like basically like not bother you anymore. Like this, I would have loved there. I get responses on that because it's like they're checking their inbox and it's that urgency. It's like, oh no, like I better like at least respond because I'm kind of interested.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So I feel like there's so many like directions we could go because there's so much gold like coming out right now. But before we get into like some real talk, what is your, if you could give the listener like your one big key piece of advice that you feel is either underrated, we don't talk about enough, or something that you didn't know what you didn't know, like what's the one piece of advice that you really want to leave people with from hearing you talk?
Okay, I forgot to mention in the beginning, I speak about navigating fear and strengthening resilience. I help students and youth, young adults, shift their negative thoughts using my framework of acceptance, gratitude, and service. I just wanted to say that in case people wanted to know. But my one piece of advice, that's hard because I got a lot. Okay. Can I give two?
Yes, give two, Erin. Okay.
Well, this one, memorizing my keynote. Because I came from an education background. Doing lesson plans was like nothing for me. Showing up to class, not that, like, come on, I'm going to be real. After you teach for 5, 6, 7 years, you're not in your house at night writing these extensive lesson plans. You're driving on your way to the car like, what are we doing today?
I know.
So it was a really big shift for me to discipline myself to memorize my keynote. And I didn't all the time. And I definitely felt how uncomfortable it was. I'm the kind of person that is like, the pain has to get great enough for me to change sometimes. So I had to feel the pain of not memorizing it. And then it made me memorize it. And the funny thing about that is my mom came to one event where I didn't memorize it and everybody loved it. It was good. Everybody got good feedback. I didn't feel good. I felt like I was searching for what was next in my mind, where I was going with it. So even though some people might think or perceive it as great, I know for me, now I understand I want to step on the stage like solid in my content. And what I found by being solid in my content, Brittany, I messaged you about this. Like sometimes when I'm speaking, I have side conversations in my head now because I know my content. Sometimes like I could open the floodgates to see where that divine connection is coming in. And I'm saying stuff that's not even in my keynote, but I can do that because I know my content.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, and please know, like, I'm not one who likes to write. So writing the keynote was painful. Practicing my keynote is painful every time I have a gig. So I had to learn how to break it up. I have to do it 2 weeks out at like 30 minute increments, maybe 2 or 3 times a week, because I don't have the discipline to stand there for an hour and practice. So I had to learn what works for me. So that's the first one.
That's so valuable. And just a side note on that, I think like a lot of people are resistant. They're like, I want to be authentic on stage. I don't want to memorize my talk. It's like, well, authenticity comes from confidence. Confidence comes from knowing your content. And we're not asking you to necessarily verbatim word for word, right? But like you said, you can be so confident in your content. You know it so well, you can actually make adjustments and pick right back up where you were, because your brain just knows. It's like a muscle and an understanding of where you are. And I know we've talked about this recently, like even when we don't have gigs, we practice our keynotes at least once or twice a week, right?
Fine.
So we can constantly, and why do we do that? And I tell people, it's our job, right? Like I really want people to realize that this is a job. We love what we do, but it's still our job to show up and be that person, you know, and be 100% and give 100%, not just to the audience, but the people that hired us and for ourselves, right? So you're doing yourself a disservice when you don't know your content. So,
and in a sense, this is how I think about it now that you said that. I had a lot of kids come to me because it was an inner city that didn't have training and they were beautiful dancers, but they didn't have the freedom because they didn't have the technique. So they were stifled and not able to grow to their fullest potential because they didn't have a foundation. They were just naturally gifted. So when I'm thinking about me and presenting, and this is what I need to tell myself and remind myself so that I don't get caught up in not memorizing, because left to my own devices, I will take the easy way and not memorize. But that is my technique. The more I grow my foundation and my technique, the more freedom I will have when I present.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. I love it. All right. We can talk about that forever. But what's point number two?
Oh my gosh. Oh, point number two. And I would love to hear from you, Brittany. I don't know if this is just a quality people have, but coming from an education background is reading your audience. And I am naturally an empath. I could pick up on people and sometimes it hurts and it's like, oh, I can't be around that energy, but I could feel the energy in a room. And it's a balancing act, right? Because I don't want to let it throw me off if some people are not engaged, which happens. But I also want to be mindful and be able to shift my energy or shift what I'm saying or how I'm saying it because they're not with me or something. So tip number two is learn your boundaries around reading a room and play with it so that it doesn't affect your confidence, but you're able to adapt as needed inside of that presentation.
I agree. I know we talked, I had my largest audience to date just a couple weeks ago, 1400 students. And I remember telling you, like, it's a room full of tables, which tables are not my favorite because you can have backs to you, right? So naturally people have to either physically turn around to look at the stage, or they're that it's just natural for them to not pay attention, right? There's just more of a barrier there. But, you know, the large part of the room was focused in, but from the stage, you're seeing everything, right? So I could see a few tables in the back were just like playing on their phones and like they were filming TikToks and all these things. That's just natural. I think, but what's to your point, there's a couple of things that I did. So I typically get down in the audience. You've seen me speak before. Mm-hmm. Like I'll actually walk through the audience. So I made a point to make it all the way to the back. And then just so they felt my presence and my energy, did I anticipate that they would start changing? No, but I wanted them to feel seen. Like I was a part of them and they were a part of me too. Like just because you're in the back doesn't mean that I don't value you, that I don't want to reach you. You know, I want to make sure you know that I am also in this space with you. And then so to make them feel included, right? Because I think when you're in the back, you're less likely to feel as included as the people in the front. Now, as being on stage though too, and we talked about this also, is you can see the ones that are engaged. And just whether it's 10 people in the room or 10,000 people in the room, not everybody is going to be like drone in and like dialed in on exactly what you're saying or resonate with your message. That's just, I mean, you know, it's just not, we want the majority, obviously, right? That's why the event planners and decision makers hire us, because the content fits with their audience. But I mean, really just being yourself and showing up for those that are really dialed in, I think is so impactful. And like I said, just finding ways. And like you said, like being aware of the energy in the room, but not like shrinking yourself down because you feel like other people are not as engaged as what you want them to be. Right.
Right. And talking with friends, it's like, I'm reminded. That's why it's so nice to have speaker friends, right? I'm reminded. I can go to when I feel nervous or scared or uncomfortable and I get a perspective shift. And I'm reminded, like, you're not going to impact everyone and that's okay. And I knew that as a teacher in the classroom, but knowing that as a speaker is different because you get one time usually with these people. With students, you get many times with them where you can work on it. And I had to learn how to release that pressure that I was putting on myself to be perfect. I'm not perfect. Everybody's not going to love me. Everybody's not going to be into it. And that's okay.
Which leads us into the last part of this episode. I wanted to talk about, because you and I have had some pretty candid conversations on both sides of situations that were like really, really fabulous. And we like slayed. And then other situations where we've been like, wow, this is not fun feeling, right? Like this whole situation, whatever it is. So I really just wanted to ask you, when you think about your journey as a speaker, do you have one or two situations that stand out as not so positive that you were able to, now being removed from it in time, right? And now you can see it differently when we're not in the throes of our emotions at the time, but what you learned from those things. So what is the situation that occurred and what did you learn from it moving forward?
I have two, and I love this because I love when you do this because it makes me remember that speakers are human. I want people to know it. Like, it's not easy out there. So let me share with you what the point is. The first one is, it was the first time I memorized my keynote, I have a weird conception of time, maybe a year and a half ago. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. So it was for an event. It was a young girls event. And it was like, I think a 30 or 45 minute keynote. And I just didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't ask the right questions. I don't even remember if I had a pre-event call, a call that happens before the event. I'm assuming maybe I did, but maybe I didn't ask the right questions. And at the end of the event, you know, people came up to me and thought that they got a lot. But when I did my post-event call, the organizer said, I missed the mark completely. And it was not what they wanted. And I beat myself up. Like, how could it not be what they wanted? People came up to me and said it was good. People said this. And I speak about, you know, not letting those negative thoughts get to you, but I'm still human, right? We speak on a lot of times what we need. My negative thoughts were so loud and I beat myself up and I was questioning myself and my ego was bruised because I thought I was talented and I thought I was good. And I lived in self-pity for a while. And then I reached out to fellow speakers and then I redid my keynote and it produced a keynote that is great now. So why do I share that? Because even though getting critique and feedback is good, and we can go into a whole conversation about how to weigh critique and feedback, but it really helped me push myself to the next level after some time passed and I was able to process it. So that's the first one.
Love it.
And then the second one was in a keynote to youth I did, I was a teacher. I'm spicy. I'll give attitude. Like, I'll shake my, like, you know what I mean? But when I do that, did that with my students, they were with me. I was a dance director. So my students were with me for 4 years. So they knew me inside and out. I came too hard with that at an event with like stopping and no, I'm not going to hear your like, but it was too much. I did more than I usually do. I was feeling like overconfident over something. And the feedback from that wasn't good. And I was upset. I was disappointed in myself because I hadn't done that before when I was speaking and I tried it out here. And it really made me realize how I fell short and what I could do to improve. So after that, I had another keynote at a college and I adjusted it and it went amazing. So it's just about trial and error and making mistakes and living through the discomfort. Because for me, it is very uncomfortable when I don't show up as what I think is perfect.
I hear you. And I want to like thank you for one for sharing those stories, because I think we don't talk enough about those stories just in general as speakers out in the industry. Like nobody wants to admit when they fall short, but we all fall short, right? Mm-hmm. Like everybody, we really don't want to admit it to ourselves, right? Like we just, but that's the human side of what we do and who we are. Any profession at all that requires someone to put themselves out there to be ridiculed or put in a position to be ridiculed or you know what I mean? Any sort, influencers, I mean, musicians, actors, dancers, I mean, people
writers.
Who perform, writers, speakers, people who perform, you know, we put ourselves in these, we want to do well, right? And sometimes we can do well, but not everybody likes what we do, right? And then right. Sometimes the feedback constructively can show us something that we didn't know before. Now, I do want to make a couple of points here, because I remember you and I had this conversation before. It wasn't about the first situation, but it was fairly recently. I was encouraging you through some of the feedback that you got. I was like, don't let it get in your head to the point where you're like scrapping your whole talk, right? Like There's the feedback we get sometimes is just feedback that is not valuable to move us forward or anything. It is unuseful information. There is unuseful feedback out there. People feel, I know I've been, I told you before, people be like, I don't like the way she dresses or she has too much energy. It's like, I'm not going to change my energy or change the way I dress. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. This is not going to happen, but that's not valuable feedback in my opinion. I really value the feedback from other speakers specifically. Like when I ask, I remember when you were in the audience at an event I did, and I said, I told you before the event, I was like, there's this part of this talk that just feels mm-hmm. really muddy to me. And I didn't tell you what part because I wanted to see if you picked up on it. And you were like, I didn't pick up on it. And I'm like, still feels muddy. You know, so like there's like different things out there like that are really important. So any other situations that, and it doesn't have to be negative. Have you had a really, or I shouldn't just say negative, not necessarily the not so great situations, right? It's not always negative. Let's not always say it's negative, but have there been any other situations that have been really good learning experiences that aren't necessarily on the not so good side, but maybe on the other side?
Yeah. Like at tech is definitely learning for me. I recently did an event and had a post event call, and she, this woman, I love her. She does a lot of, her organization does a lot of presentations in school. She's like, because we had tech issue getting my presentation up and sound. She's like, Erin, this is what I do. I have it on USB. I email it to myself and I bring my computer. I was like, oh my goodness, I didn't think about all of that. So it's just that kind of stuff because I am married to my Mac. Like if it's not on my computer, I get nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh. But it's like, now I understand that I have to be adaptable and have to be flexible. Also, arriving ahead of time in order to tech and get your systems and your sounds set up is huge for me. I've learned that through the time. What else? Oh, the clicker. The clicker drives me nuts. Like the ratio between you and the clicking. Like I have to practice because like I'm like, why isn't the screen changing?
And every clicker is different. And some of them I love and some of them I'm like, I'm just going to get my own.
Right. Yeah. So that's it.
Oh, no, that's great. I love that. What is your before I let you go, because I think this has been wildly helpful, and I think a lot of people can relate to a lot of this and need to hear it, and I hope that people feel not alone. What is the last piece of advice that you would say to the listeners on today's episode with you?
Go early and work the room. I cannot tell you what it does before you go on stage. If you arrive hour 45 minutes, I go, like, if say it's a youth event and they're at lunch before, I go to every single table. I'm very funny and awkward. I'll be like, hey, this is awkward. I'm going to be your speaker, but I just want to say hi to break the ice. Like, whatever. Whatever. Like, you don't have to do it like me, right? But it's like, whatever your personality is, having that connection with them before does something for me and does something for them. And I think 100%. It's so important because it's about building relationships. And you could do that in any area, but try it, play with it, and send me a DM and let me know how it went, because it is a game changer.
I 100% agree. This is one reason I send like videos. I'll ask them if they need me to make social media posts of videos. I tell them this in like the pre-event calls, right? I want them to get to know me and see me before they see me. I don't want that to be the first time when I walk on stage and then be like, who is this girl? You know, I'd rather, and doing what you do is genius, right? It gives them an opportunity to feel your energy, your personality. They're already figuring out whether they're buying into you or not as a speaker. So valuable, so valuable. So Erin, where can they find you? Where are all the places that you exist online? So tell them where they can find you.
Hi. Okay. My website is erinpompa.com. And then I hang out on Instagram at Erin P Speaks. You can also follow me on LinkedIn, but I probably won't even know that you do because I don't even engage. But let's just hang out on Instagram at Erin P Speaks, and everything I do is on my website, erinpompa.com.
I love it. Friends, I hope that you took something absolutely amazing from this golden episode of just so much information that is so critical to moving your speaking business forward. Erin, thank you so much for being a part of the Speaker Lab podcast. It's truly a blessing to know you and see you thrive. I've basically been a part of your whole speaking journey, and it's just been so amazing to watch. You're incredible. I know you do amazing things, and people are different because they know you, and in a very positive way. So thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate you, and thank you.
I appreciate you. All right, friends, I'm going to let you go. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here on the Speaker Lab podcast.
Hey, friend, are you ready to get serious about taking your speaking business to the next level? Maybe you are someone who is looking for ways to book more paid gigs, or maybe you're trying to figure out all the different things that go into building a successful speaking business. Or perhaps you are an experienced speaker who wants to scale your speaking business to multiple six figures. If that's you, I'd encourage you to visit thespeakerlab.com/call. Again, thespeakerlab.com/call, and book a free, no obligation call with our team. And if you're not quite ready to take that leap, I don't want you to hesitate in checking out all the free resources that we have available to you on our website, including this podcast. So head over to thespeakerlab.com. Again, thespeakerlab.com. Find hundreds of blog posts, how-to guides, podcast episodes, email scripts, proposal templates, and so much more. Finally, I got a big favor. I would love for you to leave us a rating or review for this podcast. We read every single one, and it also helps other speakers find valuable free resources that they can use to build their own speaking careers. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.